Ich will mit all meinem Scharf an mir. Ladies and gentlemen, this is President Oakwell. Again, I'm broadcasting to you from the rehab center here in Opelousas, and hopefully, pretty soon, I'll be broadcasting again from the studios of KVPR. Now, before I begin my talk for today, I want to offer congratulations to those candidates that were successful in Saturday night's election. I want to congratulate Trent Greehock for his victory, for being elected District Attorney of Evangeline Parish. I want to congratulate Terry Savant, the mayor of Pine Prairie, for defeating two opponents and being reelected. I want to congratulate Todd Ortiz, who was elected Chief of Police of Pine Prairie, Louisiana. I want to congratulate Ronald T. Doucette, known as Big T, and Blaine Mott, who both made the second race for City Marshal of Ville Platte. And last but not least, I want to congratulate Mark Disatel and Robert Young of MAMU, who made the second race for council. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as I always tell you every time I talk to you, I again urge and invite those of you who are kind enough to listen and who may have any comments to make about the program, or who may wish to voice any likes or dislikes about it, or who may have any suggestions to make, may do so by ringing me at my number at area 363-1492, 1492, the Columbus number, or you may drop me a line at 2719 Opelousas Road, Ville Platte, Louisiana. That's 2719 Opelousas Road, Ville Platte, Louisiana. Or you may call the radio station. You may call KVPI at 363-2124. You give them the message and they'll see to it that I receive it. And I give you my assurance that I'm going to do my best to accommodate you. Now, today, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you about a case that I decided when I was a district judge of Evangeline Parish. And that was the case known as the 18-year-old drinking case. And I will explain to you in detail what this case was all about, along with the related 18-year-old gambling case and the 18-year-old motorcycle helmet case. I know that most of you listeners know something about it and its conclusion, but I'll wager that you don't know the inside story on the case. It was not a simple case, and many, many things were involved. Today, you will not hear any legal mumbo-jumbo, 75-cent legal words that you won't understand. It will be common, down-to-earth language that you will readily understand, and you will not have to go to a law dictionary for a translation of the words. I dealt with this case as a judge and not as an attorney for either side. The decision that I rendered was strictly a constitutional one. It is true that this decision veered somewhat from the Louisiana Constitution, but it is not the first time in the history of the world that such an event has occurred. In making this statement, I am reminded of the words of Bishop Talleyrand, who lived from 1754 to 1838 and served as a French public official and an advisor during the French Revolution, during Napoleon's reign, during the Bourbon Restoration, and during the reign of Louis Philippe. And this is what Bishop Talleyrand had to say about a constitution. He said, "What is a constitution among friends?" Well, Bishop Talleyrand or no Bishop Talleyrand, I considered myself a strict constitutional judge, and as President Thomas Jefferson, who was also a strict constitutionalist, once said, "We are bound by the chains of the Constitution." So today, we will explore whether or not the Louisiana powers that were when they decided to follow the precepts of Bishop Talleyrand or those of President Thomas Jefferson. This court decision was by no means an everyday routine matter, but was a very high-profile one that made national news and resounded in the ears of the citizens of all 50 states of the United States of America. Besides the local television channels 3 and 10, it was covered by Fox, by CNN, and by other national television stations. As a result of this momentous decision, one side, that is, I received expressions of approval, of commendation, and of admiration. Words of praise, good words, compliments, acclaim, congratulations, applause, and accolade came flowing. I was compared to the lawgiver Justinian, the Byzantine emperor, who lived from 527 to 565. However, this was not a one-way street, ladies and gentlemen. On the other side of the coin came words that were diametrically opposed to these words of praise. These folks found fault with my decision and did not hesitate to give an unfavorable judgment of it. I was criticized, I was blamed, I was reprehended, censored, condemned, denounced, and reproached. And I was compared to Socrates, the Greek philosopher, who lived from 570 to 399 BC, who was accused of corrupting the youth of his time with his revolutionary ideas. So, judgment of me was a mixed salad of ecstasy and agony, with a dressing of oil and vinegar mixed with honey. The decision was discussed in legal circles and by learned law professors and by high-quality jurists. However, I had a tough mental hide, and I stood fast by my decision. I do not have any regrets about it, and I want to share it with objective thinking listeners like you on this subject, which may be a dead issue, but is not a forgotten one, and it is frequently brought up and discussed. As a matter of fact, right now, at the present time, there is a movement going on in the United States Congress among the lawmakers and others to revisit it. In order for you to fully understand the importance of the issue of it, it is necessary to set the clock of time back to pre-1975. Before 1975, the legal age of majority was 21 years of age. This meant that you could not vote until you were 21. It meant that you were still under the control of your parents until you were 21. Now, that is an incredible thought in this modern day and age, is it not? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I was one of these minors under 21. Now, that did not mean that en cachette I did not violate the law, but that is not a subject for a radio discussion. I will simply tell you that there are many bartenders who could verify what I'm telling you, but most of them had passed. It meant that you could not run for public office, or you could not become a notary public until you were 21. I could go on and on, but you listeners get the drift. You were considered a minor child until you were 21. Imagine that. By the time 1924, that modern period of time and age, 30 years after World War II, and some 20 years after the Korean War, or conflict as it was called, to make it less serious, young people were beginning to feel their oats, and they felt that it was not fair for them to be considered mama and papa's babies until they were 21. by that age, many of them were finishing college and becoming engineers, school teachers, chemists, and entering other professions, and believed with justification that they had become, in full sense of the word, adults, and should be entitled to that status. Many of them had completed their pre-med or pre-law studies and were entering the medical and law schools. Others of them chose not to go to college or the universities, and they were among the workforce. And they were working shoulder to shoulder with 45-year-old workers, people like carpenters, bricklayers, plumbers, electricians, so on and so forth, doing the same kind of work as those 20 years of, and older than them. In agrarian parishes, such as ours here in Evangeline, a lot of these fellows that are 21 years of age were farming, they were raising cattle, and they were doing a good job of it, as well as farmers and ranchers who were old enough to be their parents. Don't forget the women. They too were becoming school teachers. They were becoming social workers. And they were also entering the time-honored professions that were reserved for men. And they shared the same ideas as their male counterparts. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I will have to pause for a commercial break. Well, you put all of these folks together, and you had a considerable number of citizens doing the same work as those considered majors under the law. There was a substantial amount of complaints, equal rights, so to speak. And another factor not to be overlooked, these young people under 21, many with the same or more education, working together with those 21 years of age or older, listening to these so-called older ones talking politics at work, especially when election time rolled around, and they were affected by the same political issues, well, they began to resent the fact that they could not vote on these issues, even if they were more qualified, and this resentment began to boil over. It didn't take long, ladies and gentlemen, for the politicians to get wind of this. And they saw a multitude of potential voters blocked solely by their age. Yes, indeed, something had to be done about that. You couldn't let that large flock go unattended to. That, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, gives you a fairly true picture of what was happening by the time 1974 came rolling around. And at that time, the governor of the state of Louisiana was none other than that silver-haired fox who is now a guest of the Federal Justice Department in Oakdale, who was an extremely popular, intelligent, educated, skilled, and progressive-thinking man. Regardless of whether you were for him or against him, he was at the helm, and you have to admit that he was doing a pretty good job of governing. Don't forget that for all practical purposes, he was the first South Louisiana man, with the exception of Sam Jones, who is not a true South Louisiana man, to break that North Louisiana hold on us that had been in existence for over 100 years. Since his four non-consecutive terms in office, there has never been one of these North Louisiana Americans to wear the governor's mantle in Louisiana. Since the Silver Hat Fox was such a popular governor and such a progressive governor, he saw that the old state constitution of 1921 was decrepit and no longer served the needs and ideals of the state and its citizens, and was completely antiquated and outdated, and could no longer be constantly amended piece by piece, but should be totally scrapped and a new one written. Among those desired changes was the age of majority problem, which was brewing and which will be discussed at length momentarily, as it is the target of this program. Therefore, the governor, being an extremely popular one, had little trouble convincing the legislature that the state of Louisiana was badly in need of a new constitution, and in order for one to be written, it was necessary that a constitutional convention be called. So the groundwork was laid for the constitutional convention. Everything was to be done democratically. An election would be held statewide, and each parish would elect a governor, a delegate, to attend the constitutional convention. In addition to those elected governors, these elected delegates, I'm sorry, the governor would appoint high-ranking judges and skilled law professors to attend. But the prevailing idea was that the elected delegates would include citizens from every walk of life, farmers, laborers, electricians, plumbers, contractors, lawyers, school teachers, and so on and so forth. So the election was duly held, and in our parish, Attorney Clyde Fontenot was elected as our delegate. In due time, the delegates assembled for the job of writing the new constitution, which was designed to go into effect in 1975. And that is why it is called the 1975 Louisiana Constitution, replacing the old, decrepit 1921 Constitution. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I see that I am running out of time, so I will have to conclude this, but I will tell you that next time I will continue and tell you what happened after the Constitution was amended and the problem that it caused and the problem that ultimately ended up in my court, which will be the subject of my next talk. I believe that you will find it extremely interesting, ladies and gentlemen. In the meantime, I thank you very, very much for listening. I remind you that I publish a column comes out in the Ville Platte Gazette every other Thursday, and I invite you to read it. Monsieur, mesdames et mes chers amis, souhaite que vous êtes mis discordes, et dans deux semaines, je vais vous raconter la finition de cette histoire-là, et je crois que vous allez la trouver très intéressante. Je vous remercie beaucoup pour m'avoir écouté, et ce sera un plaisir de parler encore dans deux semaines. On va se revoir, same time, same stations, goodbye.